Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is going live soon, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Good morning and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Angie Setzer. Angie, a lot of stuff happened last night, but nothing of real, I guess, I don't know if urgency is the right word or a big surprise, but the December crop report came out and it looks like the MFP payments are going to happen, just nobody knows for sure when.
That's the talk. The USDA is saying that they will have a second round announced prior to the end of the year, but the announcement was supposed to have happened last Friday. But the administration at this point in time, the White House has kind of indicated that they are not going to release the second set of payments just simply because they feel that the Chinese trade war will be over and we will snap our fingers and suddenly return to the demand that we would have had we not had the trade war to begin with, which I just don't know how to process that idea. But that's the conversation anyway. So the White House yesterday said we don't need to release the second set of payments, and the USDA has said, oh, it's still coming, don't worry. So it seems to be kind of the norm anymore. The right hand maybe doesn't know what the left hand's doing or something like that. But yeah, at this point in time, we are waiting to see. The USDA says it's coming. The White House says you won't need it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. It's here one day, gone the next, and then hold on, wait a minute. We're just joking. Now we're going to bring it back. So it's kind of all over the place. So I read a lot of good stuff about that, and a lot of people are confused, I guess, is the best way to put it, on what's going to happen with that. So wait and see, and I guess we'll see what happens, just like everything else that we've been hearing the last 6 months. All right, so before we go...
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Really.
That's true. Very true. So before we got started, you were talking about how you were following crush margins in China.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. So we keep hearing from the White House here that, you know, obviously that China's going to step in and be buying a bunch of beans and everything will be great and life is good. However, we are now seeing that soy crushers in China are experiencing their worst crush margins in 18 months. So basically for every ton of soybean meal they're producing, they're losing about $50. We've seen two different stories come out of China here this week about reducing the hog herd. They're trying to get a handle on this ASF issue, and it's proving to be exceptionally difficult. In Russia, I think it took 3 years in order to control the spread of the disease, and it's still not 100% contained. Early on this week, we saw China say that any hog production in what was considered a wild boar zone will be shuttered. They want to make sure, because this disease that's traveling through the wild hog population there is different than the one that's in the domestic hog population, and they're worried that we can see, you know, kind of a spread through the domestic hog population of both strains of this virus. So that was the first indication. And then overnight, throughout the day yesterday, there was some talk, you know, from some sources deemed exceptionally reliable and kind of making its way through Chinese news that in the Beijing region, China will shut down any hog production 500 pigs or less. So that's pretty huge. They're going to pay the hog farmers there $170 a head, no matter the weight of the hog, and call all of those animals. Obviously, as a result, I mean, that's a significant amount of hogs that they're going to be cutting down on. They've been culling hogs as is because of the disease. I mean, every time they find it in a farm, they have to kill all of those pigs if they're not already dead. So the Chinese hog population, the tip of the iceberg here with some of these estimates, I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pigs that have been culled because of this disease. And obviously that's going to cut into the feed demand, and, you know, a lack of feed demand cuts into processor margin. If you can't sell your soybean meal, you have to cheapen the price. And so that's what you're seeing take place. So it's kind of like a tail wagging the dog, maybe. I don't know. Just one of those issues right now where, sure, we could see China come in and buy lots of beans, but do they really need to? You know, and some folks are saying, well, the November exports were down, or imports for China were down because of the trade war. Others are saying, no, they were down because they don't need to take them in. So you have seen Brazilian port values drop a dollar in the last month, 50 cents of that in the last week. So the supplies are available out of Brazil too. They're not gonna give this business up that they've gained, you know, without a fight. So I don't know, there's a lot of moving pieces, but beans keep trading higher. So yay beans.
Right on. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on there. So what do you think that means for the overall? I mean, they have been buying, China has been buying a lot of pork in the last couple of weeks out of the U.S. Mm-hmm. With this herd basically being dismantled because of this disease, do you see a pretty, you should see a pretty sharp rise in hog exports, you would think. I mean, if those two things kind of line up together.
Yeah, the source that has been indicated is the one, you know, talking about the culling of the pigs, or the removal of the 500 pigs or less rule, is also saying that China should triple their U.S. pork imports next year, and that we should see the tariff removed from U.S. pork here in a matter of time. You know, we did see the USDA actually predict record large exports for this year, up 6% from a year ago. And adding 8%, so an additional 8% to this year's record number next year. So there is a significant amount of expectation that we'll see, you know, these huge increases in pork exports, you know, not only to Mexico, to China, to countries surrounding China, and that'll continue to increase if we do see the disease spread into like Vietnam, or, you know, other areas surrounding. So it's something to watch. If you would have talked to anyone a year and a half ago, maybe even 6 months ago, and said that hogs would have the most bullish fundamental story by the end of the year, they'd have probably told you you were drunk, and for good reason. But now we're looking at hogs right now and definitely seeing the likelihood of a continued increase in pork exports and a, you know, continued need out of China for U.S. pork imports.
Right on. Well, good stuff as usual, Angie. If folks want to reach out to you and pick your brain on some stuff, or just ask you a market-related question, how would they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Goddess of Grain, or you can email me at asetzer@citizenselevator.com.
Right on. Well, we will talk to you again on Friday. Until then, have a good rest of your week.
You too. Have a happy Wednesday.
Right on. We'll see you.
Moving higher in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.